turn with me to John chapter 20, in the New Testament, John chapter 20. I'm going to read one verse, but we're going to reference a whole lot of verses today. This morning will be a little bit more topical. Usually we don't do a lot of topical type studies. We do just, you know, exegetical, like through the scriptures, but there's a time and place for topical. And so I want to attack this topic, and we're going to kind of launch from John 20, 21. Let's just read it together, and we'll kind of dissect it a little bit. Let me start by giving you a little context. Jesus has died on the cross. He's risen from the dead. And now he's communicating with his disciples. And listen to what he says in verse 21. We're picking it up right in the middle of a conversation, but he says, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you." Listen to this. "As the Father sent me, even so I am sending." Father, with that simple statement, there's so much for us to consider. And Lord, my heart, you know what my heart is, what I love to communicate and what I want to read from your word and all that stuff, but I just am painfully aware of my inability to properly communicate. So thank you for your Holy Spirit, and thank you for your word. And what I pray that is that as a church family, we would hear what you're saying to us corporately. But Lord, as the church at large, I pray that you would speak to us individually. God, that we would realize we are individually a part of the church. And that, Lord, you want to speak to, yes, our local congregation, but you want to speak to us personally. And I pray, God, that we would hear you and heed you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned, on Thursday night, we kind of began a topic, a discussion, because on Thursday night we had what's called, what we called a missions update in prayer night. And I think it was good. I think it was good for our church. It kind of stirred the pot a little bit. It was good to just consider what the Lord's doing. Probably want to just start by I was thinking through this topic, and you know, it probably every single church that I've ever gone to, visiting, you know, as a kid, nowadays, whenever I, you know, go to a different church or whatever, you could probably attest to this. Whenever you go to a church, inevitably, somewhere in the building, there's a missions board. Not a board of people, but like a bulletin board type board. Or a missionary wall with pictures. We ourselves, as a church, we have a missions map. And as you go down the hallway, right before the coffee shop, we've got a world map with pins and pictures of people and places. You like that? A lot of P's there. And what those are there for is to remind us to be praying and just kind of showing that these are some people that as a church we've partnered with financially and prayerfully and sometimes actually going and assisting them. And so that's good and as right and as wonderful as it is to have a missionary wall or a map on the wall or whatever as a church, my concern has been for years, and my concern still is sometimes, that indirectly and unintentionally, we might be communicating something that is not correct. By virtue of the fact of having the board with the pictures of the missionaries up there, I'm afraid that unintentionally, as a church, not just our church, but just kind of the modern church, that maybe we've accidentally miscommunicated something to the believers, to the church at large. And what I mean is this. When I say the word missions, you don't have to just kind of think about it. I will talk for you, but it's kind of rhetorical. When I say the word missions, what pops in your head? So it could be the rescue mission pops in your head. It could be Africa. I don't know why Africa. It's always Africa when you think of missions. Maybe it's the dark jungles of the Amazon. Maybe it's Mormons going door to door or going across seas for 2 years. Maybe it's, I don't know what pops in your head when the word missions is brought up. But I'd be willing to bet that if we had to articulate it, we probably have never thought it through to this point. But here's what I think has happened in our thinking as it relates to missions. I think that we think that missions is something like this. Let me read to you. It's one of many programs in the church that I may or may not be a part of. Does that make sense? I kind of thought of missions in those terms for a long time. In other words, you think of missions and that word missions, and you go to a church, and you know, if you're new to the church, you're not a Christian, you're like, what the heck is missions? What are you guys talking about? You picked a good Sunday. Because we're going to kind of rethink this. We're going to kind of redefine it a little bit. But if you've been around church circles, you know what I'm getting at. You know, we talk about being a missions-minded church. What does that mean? Oftentimes what we kind of come up with is, oh, that's one of the programs of the church that I may or may not be involved in, but that somebody in the church better be doing. We kind of think of it in those terms. But what I think we need to do is rethink our thinking on what missions is. So I'm asking the question this morning, what does it mean when we say we're a missions-minded church? What does it mean to be a missional church? What does that mean for us? This is how I think we need to kind of do a little shift in our thinking. And I'll just kind of set it up with this, and then I've got 20,000 points to make. This is where we need to take our thinking from this way of thinking. Some people in the church go and do missions for Jesus. That's kind of our mentality, isn't it? You think you go, oh, okay, some people, like some select people in the church, as Michael put it, all-star Christians, those guys, if they're a special breed of Christian, are somehow sent out to go to Africa, it's always Africa, like I said, and do a missionary trip. They're going to do missions. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it's too narrow. Here's what we need to go from that kind of mentality to this mentality. The entire church is to be on missions or on mission with Jesus. So it's not some people in the church go and do missions for Jesus. It's the entire church is on mission with Jesus. Does that make sense? No? Good. Because that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time kind of dissecting. We've got to get away from that mentality. That it's somebody else going somewhere else to preach the gospel or to do the work. When in reality, it's for the whole church. And I probably should start by just kind of helping you just clarify this. It probably doesn't need to be said, but I'll say it anyway. When you're talking about the church, our first thing that we think about when we talk about the church, we think about the local congregation. And that's okay to think that way. But in reality, when you're talking about the church, what is the church? The church is a whole separate entity. The church is worldwide. The church is not four walls. The church is not a building or an organization. The church is a living organism. The church consists of anyone and everyone who has personally put their faith in Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter what religion they claim. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what region they live in. If you're a believer in Jesus, bam, you're in the church. Well, I didn't think I joined the church. You did. The moment you got saved, you joined the church, also known as the body of Christ. And so we're all connected in that way. And guys, the reality is that the church has been put on mission by Jesus, not reserved for a select few. To go to a select few places. But in reality, 100% of us are really to be on mission 100% of the time, right where we are. And that's what we're going to talk about. So last Thursday, what I kind of started with the discussion is I used a quote from a guy named Britt Merrick. And I've kind of tweaked the quote a little bit, but it's something like this. And I'm going to use this as kind of an outline and then just pull in a bunch of scriptures. Okay, but here's the quote, and you can remember it or jot it down or whatever. It's not like, scripture. It's just, I think it kind of sums things up real well. He puts it this way. He says, we are a sent people on mission with Jesus to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of the Father. To me, that's a great definition of what it means to be a missional church or a missional people. It's that we are already a sent people on mission with Jesus to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory, ultimately, of our Father. Amen? So what I want to do is just break that down a little bit and show that there's some scriptural basis to that. First of all, look at our text. The first thing, I want to take that first phrase. We are a sent people. What does that mean? Did you know that the word mission, the Latin root of that really just means to be sent. That's all the word means, to be sent. And look at what it says in our text in John 20:21. It says this. Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I am sending you, or I have sent you, or you're sent. That's what he's saying. I'm sending you. I was sent, and I'm sending you. First thing we need to understand, and I'm really just making a very basic point, that we are sent. We don't have to wait to be sent. We're already sent. What does that mean? Well, that'll make more sense as we go. But check out, let's just break it into half. Look at that verse, verse 21. Jesus said, as the Father sent me. One thing that we need to understand, that we are missional as a church. We're on mission because God is a missional God. God is on mission to save the world. And we'll talk about that more. But notice this, the ultimate missionary was Jesus. He was sent by the Father, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, what? That he sent his only beloved son, begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent his son into this world to die for us, that we might be saved. And he says, in the same manner as I was sent by the Father, basically is what he's saying is, I am now sending you. That's a directive from the Lord. We looked at it on Thursday night, but I'll just give it to you. You guys can jot it down. But remember Matthew chapter 28. This is what we call the Great Commission. Remember, Jesus says in chapter 28, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So he says, so therefore go and make disciples of all nations. I like keeping that in context. Jesus said, I have all authority in heaven and in earth. All authority means all authority. Name one thing, person, or whatever that has more authority than Jesus Christ, the living God of the universe. He says, all authority is mine, and I'm telling you, go. Go into all the world. In Mark 16, he says this, also the Great Commission, verse 15, he says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation, or to every creature, anyone, everyone that will listen. So all that to say, the only simple point I'm trying to make first is we need to understand, guys, that when we're talking about being missional or a missionary, the first thing we need to get, it's not a select few group of people. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, guess what? You have been sent. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father, Jesus has said to his disciples, which you are now one of, he says to you, he says to me, I've sent you. You have a directive. You are commissioned. Remember, a commission is a directive from somebody who's in authority over you. And he says, you are on a mission. I'm sending you. Amen? Now, that's kind of more of an amen later, so you don't have to amen me right now if you don't want. But that's the first thing we need to look at, that we are a sent people. Again, I think that's probably my main point, so I'm going to come full circle to that. But let's move on to the next phrase of that quote I read you. Remember, it said this, we are a sent people on mission with Jesus. I like that phrase, on mission with Jesus. Now, I've never really thought about it in those terms until recently, but I've always kind of thought of it, we're on mission for Jesus, right? Because we want to do stuff for Jesus. But I think it's better to phrase it this way. We're on mission, not necessarily for Jesus. That's true to some degree. But we're on mission with Jesus. You know, here's why that's true. Because it's his mission. It's not our mission. It's his mission. He's the one doing the work. And what was his mission when he was on earth? Jot down Luke chapter 19, verse 10. But basically, Jesus, and you could add a lot to this. It's really, this is maybe a real simplified way of summing up the mission of Jesus. But he said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his mission. The Father loved you, loved me. We were wretched, vile sinners, every single one of you. I heard recently that I kind of offended somebody because from the pulpit I said that there's no such thing as good people in the world. You know, we always ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people? When the real question is, no, why does good things happen to bad people? Because none of us are good. And if you think you're good, well, you're wrong. You're just deceived. Anyway, but that's the truth. We're a bunch of rotten, rebellious sinners from our Maker, and He loves you. That's the crazy thing about God. He loves you anyway. And He sent His Son to save us. And so that was His mission when He was on earth. But here's the thing that we need to realize, and I think this is probably one of the most exciting things to me. This is why I say we're not necessarily on a mission for Jesus. Guys, we are on mission with Jesus. Turn over to Acts chapter 1, just because I want you to see this. And we're going to refer back to Acts chapter 1 anyway. So maybe put like a little bookmarker or your finger or the person sitting next to you's finger or something to keep that place in your Bible. And I just want to read you the first verse of the book of Acts. And this is kind of just to illustrate my point here. In the book of Acts chapter 1, written by Dr. Luke, the guy who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, that's the guy he wrote the book to, he says, I've dealt with, listen, all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up. Rewind that for a second. I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. You see, listen, you might say, well, how can we be on Jesus, on mission with Jesus if he's already come and gone, his mission's over? No, here's what you need to understand. Jesus is not here on earth presently anymore doing his mission personally, right? But he is absolutely still on mission to seek and to save that which is lost, to save sinners. The only difference is, guys, listen, now he's continuing the mission through who? The church. The church of Jesus Christ is the vehicle by which he is moving his mission along. And who is the church? We already went over this. Any and every believer in Jesus Christ. You're the church. I'm their church. The point is, you guys, Jesus isn't done with his mission. The reason we're still here, I believe, on earth, is because Jesus wants to save more people. And he's not here presently, physically, in bodily form anymore, but he's sent his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit abides in every single person that believes in Christ, and he has sent us to go into every nook and cranny of the world to continue his mission, to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, what was his mission? We already talked about to seek and to save what was lost. But how did he accomplish that mission? He did all the work, by the way. He died on the cross for our sins. He raised from the dead for our sins. I don't want you to kind of twist this up and think that, okay, so I've got to go save people. No. What is our mission? We know what his mission was. How do we continue the mission? How are we on mission? In this way. We take Jesus into the world. Okay, that sounds, I'm trying to really simplify because I'm a simplistic person. But bottom line is, the mission of Jesus was to seek and to save that which is lost, to redeem and purchase back a sinful world and reconcile us back to God, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But now, as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, and actually maybe just let me read it to you. In fact, just don't turn there, but I'll read it to you for time's sake. Chapter 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, now counting their trespass, not counting their trespasses against them. Listen to this. Entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Did you guys catch that? Jesus' mission was to seek and to save with the lost, seek and save that which was lost. He accomplished the work on the cross. He died for our sins. He raised from the dead. He's reconciled all who believe in him have been reconciled to the Father. But now he's committed to us, what? The ministry of reconciliation. By the way, reconciliation just means to bring back together. And what does it say we are? Ambassadors. We're ambassadors. So we get to be ambassadors wherever we go and bring the message of Jesus Christ. Let me just pause here for a second. This to me is like so encouraging. As we think this through, okay, missions is not simply sending a couple people from our church to Africa or going on a short-term mission trip to Mexico. By the way, there's a place for that. It's absolutely, we need to do those things. God has the right to call people to go to other places and do whatever he wants to do. But it's not limited to that. Every single one of us has been sent by Jesus. We are currently on mission for Christ. His mission was to save us. He did the work on the cross. Our mission is to be ambassadors for Jesus. And this is what I love, you guys. Our message, this is what we do as we're on mission. We bring Jesus into people's lives. Our message is Jesus. And what I mean by that is I'm so glad that I'm not commissioned to like sell a product or like push some self-help program or to push some method or religion or some politics and conservative politics. And some, I think some Christians think that's the mission that we're sent on to do. Guys, that's not our mission. Our mission is to give people Jesus, is to tell them it's not a religion. It's not a keeping of rules. It's not a system. It's not a manual. It's not a method. It's not a product. It's a person. It's Jesus. He is real. He is risen. He has died for all your sins. He will personally come into your life. He will wash away your sins. He will change you from the inside out. He will take you home to be with the Father someday. It's not religion. It's a personal relationship with Christ. Guys, and we can't save anybody, but we can give them Jesus. And the Bible says that the power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. And so guys, basically what we get to do, basically what our mission is to be ambassadors for Christ. To go into the world and proclaim, point to the person of Jesus. Amen? Because he's everything. You know what? You know his ministry? I love the model, and sometimes I'll share this with leaders or staff or whatever, is one of the greatest guys in the Bible to model your ministry after is John the Baptist. Jesus actually called John the Baptist the greatest of the Old Testament saints. And John the Baptist's ministry, you might say, well, why is his ministry so great? Here's what's cool. When you read the book, the Gospel of John, and you're looking at John the Baptist, not John the Apostle, John the Baptist came on the scene. He was baptizing people. He was kind of the forerunner for Christ. You guys remember that? He was kind of preparing the way for Jesus. And he had this like massive following out in the middle of the desert. And people were coming from wherever. And these Pharisees came and they're like, hey, who do you say you are? Who are you? And he said, I'm a voice. Or excuse me, the first thing he said was, I'm not the Christ. He said, I'm a voice. One crying in the wilderness, you know. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Christ. But then when Jesus did come to those waters to be baptized, what did John the Baptist do? He got everybody's attention and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Some of his followers were jealous. Hey, everybody's going to follow Jesus. What did John say? I have to decrease. He has to increase. And when his life was over, in John 10, the end of John 10 verses somewhere like 40 or something like that. You know what they said about John? They go, you know, he didn't do any miracles or signs, but everything he said about Jesus was true. You know what? I would love to have that written on my tombstone. I don't care if I personally ever make any impact or do any great miracles or whatever, but if I can get to the end of my days and people just say, you know what? He didn't do a lot of great stuff, but everything he said about Jesus was right. He pointed people to Jesus. Guys, that's what we get to do. We're ambassadors for Christ. We have got to make sure that as we're on mission for Jesus, that our mission is all about Jesus. And it's easy to get away from that. We've got to point to the work and the person and the message of Jesus Christ. I think one of the things we have to be careful of in the church is not turning the mission that we're on as ambassadors for Christ to bring the good news into simply a social gospel. It's very popular right now. It's very popular to do social work in the name of the Lord. And guys, by the way, I think we should. But our goal, listen, and please don't misunderstand me. Our goal is not to just get clean water to everybody in the world. Should we help getting clean water in the world? Yes. Our goal is not to feed the hungry. Should we feed the hungry? Yes. Our goal is not to build houses in Mexico. Should we build houses in Mexico? Absolutely. But see, I think it's okay to say this. I heard somebody else say it and I was kind of shocked, but it's okay to say it. We have an agenda. We have an agenda as Christians. And our agenda is that you might be saved from hell through the person of Jesus Christ. Because what good does it to gain the whole world, to have clean water and a nice house and warm clothes and lots of food and go straight to hell when you die? We should do those things. We should love people because Jesus loved people. But we should never get away from or compromise or pull back on the message of Jesus Christ. That is our mission. Not to set up right-wing politics, not to feed the hungry only, not all those things. Our mission is that one soul at a time, we can share the love of Jesus Christ with somebody. And that's our mission. Amen? So we're a sent people. We don't have to wait to be sent. You're already sent, and I'll come back to that. We're on mission with Jesus. We're not called. You don't know where in the Bible you're called to go on missions. Do we go on missions? Yes. But it's bigger than that. Are you tracking with me? It's not that we just do missions. We are on mission every moment of our lives. And we are on mission with Christ because he's still alive and he's still working. And he basically is allowing us to partner with him in the work. This may humble some of you guys, and I don't mean to do it. Yes, I do mean to do it. Do you realize that God doesn't need us? Do you realize that if you really want to do effectively share the gospel in this world, that there's probably better ways to do it than using you and me? We're idiots. We're inconsistent. We say stupid things. We get off track. We put our foot in our mouths. We offend people. And he says that I'm going to use you to share the most important message in the universe. Lord, really? How about an angel? You know? Can you use an angel? Yeah, he could. And by the way, he will. Revelation chapter 14 said that there will be an angel that goes across the world proclaiming the gospel. But the point is, for now, this is the way it works. He's chosen to use you and me. And to me, that is awesome. Because I know God doesn't need me. But he wants to use me. You know that every single person, I think, alive wants to feel like they belong to something that's bigger than them. You guys know what I'm talking about? We want to have some feeling of importance. We want to feel like we're a part of something that's bigger than ourselves, some movement or whatever. Guys, as Christians, we're involved in a mission to save the world. Literally. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who gets excited about that. It's pretty cool. So we're a sent people on mission with Jesus. But notice that next phrase, to the world. To the world. You know, when Jesus gave the Great Commission there in Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16, what did he say? Go into all nations, make disciples of all nations. In Mark 16, he said, preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter 1, I told you we'd go back there a couple of times. In verse 8, he said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Obviously, the Lord wanted to spread and still wants to spread the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, to everywhere in the world. But going back to my original statement, my introduction, we cannot limit missions, when we think about missions, to going to a foreign land. Should we go to foreign lands? Yes, if the Lord calls you to do that, you should obey. You should go wherever he tells you to go. But here's the thing that we need to understand. You're already in the world. You're already on the mission field. You don't have to be waiting around saying, Lord, when are you going to send me into the mission field? What you need to do is wake up and understand you already are on the mission field. I remember when I was 17. I've told this story a lot, but we have a lot of new people. And plus, I just want to tell it again. One of the most impacting things in my life, God just did a weird, cool thing in my life when I was like, 16, 17, 18 years old. And I can remember I was on a Mexico missions trip, just like our Andrew's getting ready to take a group down. And we were serving on that trip and we were doing everything. And somewhere along the way, it just hit me that we just drove like 300 miles. It wasn't that long of a drive from where I lived at the time. But in my mind, it was like forever. Drove like 6 hours or whatever to go to Mexico and to serve the Lord. And in my puny little 16-year-old, 17-year-old brain, I'm thinking, man, I love this. I love serving the Lord. So I love going on trips like this so I can serve the Lord. And like a little light bulb went off, just a little one, like a refrigerator-sized light bulb, not like a, but a little light bulb went off. And it was basically this. You can still serve me when you get home. And really, I realized on that trip that God did not send me all the way down to Mexico so I could help those poor people in Mexico. He actually sent me all the way into Mexico so that he could teach me that I need to go back home and serve Jesus at Adolfo Camarillo High School where I lived. It was like an amazing truth opened up to me. And I'll never forget, that was a really impacting summer for me because we went as a small youth group, but we joined up with like 400 to 500 other teenagers from all different youth groups. And we all kind of camped together. And they had one big worship leader and speakers. And then we'd spread out during the day and just go serve the Lord in all these awesome ways. And we'd come back at night and worship together and debrief and all that stuff. And I remember there was a guy there and he had written this song called I'll Obey. And he goes, I'll obey and serve you. I'll obey because I love you. I'll obey. My life is in your hands. And if it costs me everything, when the feelings go away, I'll still obey. And he challenged us to not sing that song unless we meant it. And the Lord was just raking on me, just like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to go, oh, yes, Lord, I'll totally obey everything you want me to do. But it was like a turning point in my life where I had to ask myself, will I obey? It's super easy to serve Jesus with my youth group down in Mexico 1 week out of the year. But am I willing to go home and be laughed at by my peers and to be not accepted and to serve Jesus anyway? And that was a huge thing for me. But my point is that we don't have to wait to be sent anywhere, guys. You're sent. You're already sent. Sent where? Where are you? Well, all I am is a housewife and I just live in a neighborhood. Guess where you've been sent? To your kids, to your family, to your neighborhood, to your context that you're currently in is where you've been sent. You know who the first missionary was sent by Jesus? Anybody remember? I'll remind you. Mark chapter 5. Jesus and the guys had taken a little boat ride across the northern tip of the Sea of Galilee. They get over there and they go to the area of the Gadareans. And there was this dude there that was full on demon possessed. Like full on demon possessed. Like breaking chains, running around. He literally he was tormented by demons, this poor guy. And then him tormenting everybody else in the village. And he just literally lived among the tombs. And Jesus got there. You guys remember what happened? Basically, Jesus sets this guy free. Cast the demons out, and we're told that when the people showed up, this guy was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's what happens when you encounter Jesus. And this guy's life was radically just turned upside down. And it says the people were freaking out, and they wanted Jesus to leave. And part of the reason for that, by the way, was there was like a legion, whatever that means, of demons in this guy. And when he cast them out, he actually cast them into a whole herd of pigs. You guys remember that? And the pigs ran off the side of the cliff and died. And that's where pastors make stupid jokes like the first incident of deviled ham. Anyways, I would never do that. The point being, it freaked them out. And instead of seeing what Jesus did for this guy, what happened was actually Jesus hurt their checkbook because that's how they were making money were those pigs, which by the way, pigs aren't kosher. They shouldn't have been in Israel anyway. There's a lot to the story. Anyways, those go off the cliff. They want Jesus to leave. So he's like, okay. Which is, by the way, the saddest thing in the world to me. Here Jesus just radically lifts this guy from the pits of hell, changes his life, restores to him life, and the people want Jesus to leave. And Jesus will not stay where he's not wanted. And he says, okay. So he's getting back in the boat. And what is this poor guy who's just been delivered from Satan, basically, comes over and just grabs, you can see in your mind's eye, grabs onto the boat, almost trying to get in. Lord, can I come with you? And what does Jesus say? No. Nope. I'll go anywhere with you, Lord. Can I go with you? Nope. He says in verse 19, and he did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. first missionary sent out by Jesus was sent home. Can I go with you? Oh, I'll sail. That's us sometimes. Lord, I'll go. I'll get on a plane. I'll go across the world to share Christ. Sweet. Go across the street. Stay home. I want you at the job that you're in because I need some missionaries at the mill. I need some missionaries at Fred Meyer. I need some missionaries at Astoria High School. I need some missionaries at Warrenton High School. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? That's where you've been sent. And this can be so stinking radical if you let it. If you understand that he's not kidding around. He really has sent you there. It's not by chance you live in the family that you live with, in the house that you live, in the neighborhood that you live, in the job you work, where you play sports or whatever. The Lord has strategically in his sovereignty woven this whole thing together that you are there for this time in that place. Why? That you might be an ambassador for Jesus at Fred Meyer. Amen? Kind of amen? Yes? Okay. So we've been sent into the world. Now up to this point, we're almost done, but up to this point, you might say, I totally agree with that, okay? I get it. Jesus is on mission still, even though he's not here bodily, but he's still on mission because he sent his Holy Spirit, and now he's just accomplishing that mission through us, his church. We've been sent. We're ambassadors for Jesus, wherever our current context takes us. But how does that work? I mean, how does this actually work? Because although I can agree in a sense of the fact that, yes, that's kind of what he's done, I just don't feel like I can do it. Anybody feel like that? Me and Eric. We feel like that. Okay, I get it, but how do you do this thing? How do I be an ambassador for Christ? Back to Acts chapter 1. And to me, we could say a lot about this, but to me this is huge because what was our outline again that we're going off of? That we are a sent people on a mission with Jesus to the world by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. This is so huge. In fact, in John 20, 21, right after he says, peace be with you, just as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. The next thing out of that it says, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, listen to this. He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. In a nutshell, it's this. How do we really become effective witnesses, or how do we be on mission for Jesus in our context, at home, at school, at work? We need, first of all, you need to understand, you need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You know, it's interesting. Jesus commanded them to go into the world, but before they went, he also commanded them that they stay in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Why? Until they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we could launch into, and some of you guys know me, we can do this. We could launch into a very lengthy teaching on this whole subject, but I'm just going to do the cursory deal right now. Ephesians chapter 1 says that when you believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God resides in you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. It's what we call being born again. Before you know Jesus, you're spiritually dead. When you exercise faith in Christ to be your Savior, you're born again. You're regenerated. The Spirit of God takes up residence in you. But it's pretty clear from the book of Acts that even after a person has received the Holy Spirit, that they can be empowered with the Holy Spirit. Over and again, speaking of believers, it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard a great illustration of it this way. You can have a glass of water sitting right here full of water. It's full of water. But then you can have that same glass of water filled with water, but then have a massive, like 10-gallon drum or whatever, over it full of water, and just keep pouring into the glass. What's going to happen to the glass of water? It's going to overflow. To me, that's kind of a good illustration of what it means to have the Spirit, but then to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the outpouring of God's Spirit in our lives, not as some of us think, so that we can have a Holy Ghost feeling at church and tinglies in our tummies and have our gold fillings and all the stupid things that we do as a church and blame it on the Holy Spirit. The purpose for the empowering of the Holy Spirit is that we might be His witnesses. He knows that we don't have any power or strength or ability in and of ourselves. So He says, I'm sending you into the world, but you need my strength and my power, and I will freely give it to you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, notice this. It doesn't say, you will go witnessing for me. What does He say? You'll be witnesses for me. I love that. So often we talk about, we got to go witnessing. Okay, that's cool. If you want to go witnessing, that's fine. But understand that the real biblical concept is not going witnessing. It's being a witness. That your whole life is just gushing forth with the Lord. So when you go to work, you're a witness. How? In the way you talk. The things you say, the things you don't say. The way that you treat people. You see, it's more than just sharing the message of Jesus. We need to do that. But it's every nook and cranny and area of our lives just flowing with the life of Jesus. We need the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen? Guys, for you to be an effective ambassador for Jesus in your context, at your house, as a mom, a dad, a student, a worker, you need the outpouring and baptism and the filling of God's Holy Spirit in your life. How do I get that? I think you just asked for it. Lord, I want to be an ambassador for you, and I can't. I need the power of your Holy Spirit. Fill me up. And He does. Amen? So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And then ultimately, and we'll just make this a quick point, but it's ultimately for the glory of God. It's for the glory of the Father. All things were created by Him and what? For Him. Ephesians chapter 1 says that all of us basically are trophies of God's grace. To the praise and the glory of His grace, we've been saved. It's not that once you get saved, people go, oh, you're so awesome. They look at you, you know, in heaven and go, you're here? God, you're awesome. You are so gracious. I can't believe you let Jason in. The blood of Jesus was way more powerful than we thought it was. Slivkoff's in heaven, you know. It's all to the glory of God because ultimately none of us deserve to be saved. So when we are saved, it's all for His glory. All of this is for the glory of the Lord. Amen? So that's a definition. We are a sent people on a mission with Jesus to the world by the power of the Holy Spirit for the glory of the Father. I want that to be who we are, guys, as a church. Individually, each one of you, I want you, I want myself to catch this vision that missions is not limited to 7 people on a bulletin board that we support as a church. We're happy to do that. We should do that. But it's every single believer in this room on mission. How are we going to reach Clatsop County? How are we going to reach Warrenton, Napa? How are we going to reach Seaside? How are we going to reach these places? It's not necessarily just building churches on every corner. It's the church getting out of the church and going to work and going to school and being a Christian 24/7. We got to take Jesus into the world, guys. I want that to be what we do individually. I want that to be even, you know, as a church, I want us as a church to always say, Lord, how can you use us directly in the community? How can we save? How can we take the mission of Jesus into our community? So that's kind of what I wanted to say with that. One more little thing I want to add on here. I actually scribbled it in. You might ask, well, why should I? What's my motive for doing this? I mean, can I just be a Christian and like be saved and go to heaven? And yes, totally you can. What if I don't want to get on board with this mission thing? Does that mean I'm not saved? No, you're saved. No condemnation. The Lord is stoked to have you in the family. But you're missing out. See, here's our motivation. Number one, there is an obedience side to it. Why? Because Jesus said go. And who's in authority? Jesus. So there is an obedience side to this. But even something that I think even trumps the obedience is the overflow. And what I mean by that is, when you realize how wretched you are and how much God loves you and what He did to save you, nobody has to tell you to get on mission for Jesus. Did you know that? Because the overflow of your life is that you want others to hear the good news, right? There's a responsibility, but it's really a response. There's an obedience, but it's really an overflow. Guys, if you're not excited about taking Jesus to the world, what you just need to do is just kind of reverse a little bit and just go back to Jesus personally and remember what He saved you from. And that will stoke the flame. That will be your motivation. Amen? Another thing I would say is you guys, What's so exciting to me about this is that if you grab onto this, if I grab onto this, that we are on mission with Jesus in this world, that His Holy Spirit's in us and upon us, and that any given moment He might want us to step out in faith and say something or do something or whatever, or go somewhere. We're on mission with Him. Like as we walk through the day, we can literally be, and I do this sometimes, I'm sure you guys do it too, walking into Fred Meyer, Lord, I'm here to get milk, but if you want to like want me to do something while I'm here, I'm here. I'm ready to go at Fred Meyer. Other times I'm like, Lord, keep everybody away from me because I just want to get my ice cream and leave, okay? Honestly, that's how I feel sometimes. But when I'm down, I'm like walking with the Lord a little closer, Lord, I'm going into the grocery store. I want to be available. I'm getting my gas pump. Lord, do you want me to talk to this guy? Lord, do you want me to serve that person? Do you want me to pick up that hitchhiker? We're just always on mission. And you never know what He's going to have you do. So therefore, number one, your life, you realize that your life has amazing purpose. You have purpose. If you lose sight of this, you're going to start thinking that really seriously, my whole life is work 40, 50, 60 hours a week, bring home a paycheck, pay the bills if I have anything left over, buy something fun for myself, go on vacation once every 2 years. Or you can say every morning, I really hate this job, but Lord, this is where You sent me. And there's guys there at work that need Jesus. So Lord, give me grace to be on mission for You today. All of a sudden, your life has purpose. And excitement. Amen? Living on mission with Jesus. Let's close with this last statement. This is from a guy named R. Keith Park. I actually never heard of the guy before, but I ran across this quote. Listen, please. Missions is God's redemption proclaimed through persons to all people. The source is God. Its embodiment is Jesus Christ. Its story is the Bible. Its purpose is salvation. Its scope is humanity. Its declaration is the believer's mandate. Its fulfillment is the church's task. Its application is the world's hope. And its culmination is God's glory. Guys, we are a sent people on mission with Jesus to the world by the power of His Holy Spirit for the glory of the Father. And I just want to remind you guys of that. I was joking kind of with Michael and a couple guys. Said, I think we're going to send out the most missionaries we've ever sent out on Sunday. And I'm kind of tempted to do that. Just say, okay, you know how we send out like somebody's going to Africa? We go, okay, church body, let's pray for them. What if we just were like, all like, yeah, I'm going to take the call of God. See, there's another guy named John Stott that says, we've been called out of the world to God, but then sent back into the world for God to witness for Him. And how radical would it be if some of us in here were just like, yeah, I'm ready to be sent out. No, not Africa. Pfft, heck no. I'm going to Warrenton High School. I'm going to Fred Meyer. I'm going home to tell people what Jesus has done for me. I think we do need to do this. We need to get sent out from here. It's been put this way, guys. Church is so important. We've got to gather and then we got to scatter. And we got to gather some more, and we got to scatter. And we should bring people in with us, but we should go out to people too. We're on mission with Jesus. Father, thank You for Your word, and I, just between You and me, Lord, You know the things that You've been radically like tweaking in my thinking in this regard. And I just want to thank You, Lord, that number one, You would save me, that You love me, and that You would turn around and want to use me to help save others. It's ridiculous. Because You know me. You're so gracious. You're so awesome. Father, my prayer right now is that as a church, we would dispense with the thinking that missions is some program for other people, but that we'd realize it's much broader and bigger and more wonderful than that, that we're all on mission with You if we choose to be. Guys, I really think that as we're just praying, there's a couple things. And you know, we dim the lights and we do all this stuff on purpose so that we can kind of process what the Lord's been speaking to us without distraction. And there's a couple of things. Number one, maybe just keep your eyes closed in that prayerful mode right now. Number one is, if you're not a believer in Jesus yet, you can be. You know, throughout the message, I've strung the gospel. And it's basically that we've all sinned, fallen short of His glory. Our sin has earned us separation, death. That's across the board, all humanity. Nobody escapes that. But that Jesus was a substitute. He died in our place. He was perfect. He died for our imperfection. And now he gives to us his perfection if we just come in faith. And that's the only acceptable sacrifice to God. You can't sacrifice good works or, you know, being, you know, hoping your good works outweigh your bad works. Nope. The only thing God accepts is anybody and everybody that has received his son to be Savior. So if you haven't done that, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We also, our prayer team's coming up right now. In a minute, you can slide up there. But listen, please, also, I really feel like for some of us in here, like this is a review sermon. You already know this stuff. But for some of you in here, I really think God's calling you to go on the mission field. I don't necessarily mean Africa. I don't necessarily mean Colombia. And it scares you because you realize your mission field is where you work. And you can't compartmentalize your life anymore. You can't be a Christian on Sunday, but then chuck it on Monday through Friday. And that scares you. But my encouragement to you is you answer the call this morning. Answer the call. You've been sent. It's not a got to, it's a get to. We get to be a part of the greatest mission on earth. And the work is his. It's not our work, it's his work. He's just letting us be a part of it. And there might be some young people in here or old people, but I think the Lord is really wanting some of you guys to, in some way, I don't know how exactly, but in some way respond to this. Don't let it just be a good sermon or mediocre sermon or whatever. Respond to God. I triple dog dare you to just say, okay, Lord, if you want to use me, I want to go. Will you help me change my attitude about work and school and my family and everything? And Lord, I want to give you all of my life and I want to be an ambassador. Because listen, guys, the stakes are high. This is not black, this is black and white. It's not gray. There is heaven and there is hell. There's one way to heaven, it's Jesus. We all deserve hell, but he has paid our debt. If there was a cure for cancer, we would beat people's doors down to tell them about the cure. But we have the cure for something far worse. We have the cure for the curse of sin that has brought death on every man. It's Jesus. So I'm done talking. Let's pray. And if somehow you want to respond to the Lord, maybe you need to raise your hands up to him. Maybe you need to come pray with one of our prayer team. We have communion available. We're just going to take another 5 minutes. We're going to worship. We have communion available to remember Jesus. We have our prayer team. If you need to sit down, get on your knees, raise up your hands, get somebody to pray with you, somehow respond to Jesus today. Somehow say, yes, Lord. Either receive him as your Savior or answer the call. And ask him, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. But do business with the Lord in this next few minutes. Father, we give you this time. I pray for anybody and everybody who doesn't know Jesus in this room or listening online, God, that they would respond right now to the gospel, that they would know you love them. The work is finished. All they need to do is enter into your finished work via faith. I pray, Lord, also that we would have a radical awakening to the mission of our lives. God, if our mission has been to live for us, help us to realize how futile and empty that is. And Lord, may we really start living by giving our lives fully to you and being on mission with you to save, Lord. The work is yours, the power is yours, but Lord, we're available. Fill us with your Spirit. Send us into the community as ambassadors for Jesus. In your name.